This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
The situation with Jimmy Johnson, I was listening to a podcast with Cousin Sal, and I forgot the other guy, Bill Simmons, too. And they...
See how he just threw that in real casually?
Well, yeah.
Bill Simmons was there, too.
Well, yeah, Simmons, Cousin Sal, and I forgot the other guy.
Also, real quick, Soren mentioned, this is a pretty big 2020 fight for D-Lo. Family man, hates The Rock, loves Jerry Johnson.
Well... None of that's wrong.
They talk about the Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up a good point about how, like, Jimmy Johnson was as a coach. He was kind of a guy that he was almost like Jim Harbaugh to a certain degree.
Yeah. And they've planted the seeds for that.
Yeah. And the thought process is the general thought is like, Jerry messed it all up. Jimmy would have been there forever, and they would have won a bunch of Super Bowls. When in reality, from everything we've seen from Jimmy Johnson, he wasn't going to be there long anyway.
Jimmy comes off as a psycho as a coach.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Like
he literally is trying to kill players in practice.
Yeah,
he didn't have to leave at that particular moment.
Yeah,
but he wasn't going to be there.
It wasn't
no
going to be a long
like
stay.
Three more years max, and that's something that I think about conventional wisdom. Like, yeah, Jerry got rid of him and Jimmy would have been there forever. Like, it was going that way anyway.
Yeah.
It just happened like a year.
Harbaugh, I think, is a good comp.
Yeah.
It's a good comp.
Because I think they said Jimmy was in Miami less time than he was in Dallas.
Hmm.
I think he might have been in Dallas 5 years and was in Miami 4, maybe, and just kind of got burnt out. Like, he's not a guy that's going to be there for a long time wherever
he's at. Where'd he go after that? Miami, and that was it, right?
That was it.
Rumor has it he wanted to trade Dan Marino at one point. I'm not even joking, too.
Jimmy said, get this guy out of here.
Jimmy's crazy.
I will say about that documentary, we always make fun of him and stuff like that, but like, there is something to the Cowboys.
Sure.
It's like important, like that same way I make fun of the Lakers and stuff, but they kind of got that. I hate this word now because I want to use it, but like the aura and stuff like that.
For sure.
Just you see the Cowboys and I don't know, there's a feeling there.
There are teams in all sports, but when they're popping or when they're on your TV or they're in a big game, it does hit different. And the Cowboys are one of those teams. When they're in a big time game, it feels bigger.
Yeah, even when they're showing highlights like Drew Pearson out there, Staubach and those guys, like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand there's a rivalry and all this other stuff, so that plays into it. But them kicking off the season is bigger than if the Eagles played the Commanders to start the season. It's like, oh, they're starting this thing off against the Cowboys. Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
It's different.
It's still America's team. Like, yeah. That's still, you don't have to be good to be America's team. You have to be popular. And there isn't a more popular, I think it's, that's the most popular sports franchise in America, no?
It's got to be them or the Yankees. I mean, I think the Lakers are there too, though.
I would probably put the Lakers third.
I think it goes Cowboys and Yankees and then go down a tier and then the Lakers, I think.
So let me ask you guys this. Are the Yankees still there?
I think so. I think so.
I won't even argue number one. I'd ask, have the Lakers passed the Yankees? Basketball, Kobe.
I don't know.
LeBron now.
I don't know. I don't know. The one that I feel the least good about is the Lakers.
Mm. See, I think the Lakers are.
Okay. Let me die a little. Now let me work through this. Everybody, be quiet.
Shout out to
no quiet.
That was a Shaq.
I gotta figure.
Also, Jimmy Johnson.
No, thank you. Be quiet.
Jimmy Johnson did explore trading Marino, and then Marino retired. So Jimmy wanted him out of there after that Jaguars game. He got his ass beat.
Oh, that's crazy.
Tried trading for Barry Sanders, too.
How close are the Warriors to the top of this list?
Nah, they're going to go backwards in 2 years.
No, that's not what I said, though. Right now.
No.
They're not?
No, not anymore.
Are they the second most popular NBA team?
Today, yes. I'll give
it. I mean, that. It's Steph. Like, we all, I know what it is.
Yeah, but they're not on the level of the Yankees, Lakers, or Cowboys, though.
And that's what makes
Cowboys. I don't think they sniff that either.
That's what makes the Cowboys, Lakers, Yankees that. Because it ain't about when Kobe leaves, Lakers going to fall off.
Yeah.
Or when Dak leaves, the Cowboys are. They are the brand.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's. Yeah.
And Steph is the Warriors.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
You're right. But I don't currently, know that changes my question, though.
Currently, today, I put them at two. I mean, I think Boston's
two
there.
Two
to the Lakers. Would you think they're
bigger
than Boston?
But where are they in this conversation?
They're not.
Are they, like, above the Red Sox?
No, I don't think they're above the
Dodgers. Are they above the Steelers? Oh.
I don't think they're above the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers is a good one.
Somebody in the chat said the Steelers.
The Dodgers
we're
are
talking
a good
Warriors
one.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty far.
Okay.
Far
I was just asking. Broadcast journalist.
Steelers? There's no history to them.
Steelers? Are they above the Steelers?
The Warriors?
Yeah. Today.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
Are they above the Niners today?
Maybe. I don't want to piss you off.
No, I get it.
One thing I don't want
to
do.
Football is different.
There's a culture. Look, there's a culture to
don't
those.
Don't piss me off.
There's a culture to those teams too, like the Celtics, the Steelers, the Cowboys, or whatever.
Yeah, the Packers. That's
been there for decades. Yeah. I think that's kind of what the Warriors missed. Now the Warriors are just not just, but like they're Steph Curry.
The Raiders aren't far out of this conversation. They're probably closer to the 10 spot than a 5 spot.
The last 20 years has done a lot of damage to them. If they just
I don't think so.
As respect, like just like being in that, like I think they get like thrown in there, like the Raiders know, but like they be real sure.
Raider fans are diehard. Roddy is literally the only one I know who left them.
They are.
Like I fought for Oakland so hard till I realized like Roddy is an anomaly. Mm-hmm. Most Raider fans are like, cool, we're going to Vegas. I won't say most. I'm sorry, Roddy. A lot of Raider fans are like, yeah, we're just going to Vegas. It's the brand is the Raiders. Their branding is the Raiders. It's not Las Vegas. It's not Oakland. It's not Los Angeles.
The Raiders.
Let me ask a question. Is that no disrespect, everybody, all right? No disrespect, because they're going to take it as disrespect.
Gosh. Because every time you do this, you disrespect somebody.
I'm not trying to disrespect anybody.
No, this is like you're loading up like the game breaker right now, and you're it's going to be massive disrespect. 1,000 points disrespect right now.
He's in the batter's box like
yeah.
Here it comes. Go ahead.
Is the way we think about the Raiders and the way we talk about them, not that they don't have a fan base that's across the country, but the way we talk about them, is that a little bit more regional than we realize? And the reason why I ask that is you'll see it when it happens. But think about the what's a great example? Or the Niners and what they did in that playoff game, the fan base being there, what they did at that Cowboys game. Mm-hmm. Are the Raiders doing that today all over the country? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. They're not even doing it in Las Vegas.
Right. But even the Chiefs do that when they go somewhere right now. And all
to
this
be fair,
stuff.
They do play 17 road games a year.
Oh, poor guys. Poor guys. But we talk about the Raiders like the Cowboys, or the Eagles do it right now too. The Eagle fan base, when they go somewhere, it's on and popping. Now, they're also good teams, so that plays a role in
it as well.
Yeah,
if the 49ers were 2-14, fan base out?
I don't know.
No, they're not. They're not.
Eagles, same thing. Like if the
Levi was empty,
what would it look like if the Raiders were 10-2 headed into week 14?
So 10-2 is different
on the road.
10-2 is different.
Okay,
but we saw them make the playoffs less than 5 years ago, and it wasn't this. It wasn't like when the Niners go to Cowboys.
I'm gonna be honest, I can't remember, so I'll take the word for it. I don't remember.
It wasn't.
I just remember how it ended.
The Raiders, as far as like, and when people say like traveling, like 10,000 people aren't traveling from California to go to Dallas to go to this game, right? These are people that are in the city. That means that your connection as a team runs through that city as well, runs through that state of Texas, runs through the state of Florida. With like 15,000 people aren't flying to Florida to go to the Niners Miami Dolphins game. Like these people are there. You're all over the country. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, I don't think, have that today. And like Jesse pointed out, they've been so bad for so long, almost like how the Kings are. Like the Kings lost a generation of fans because they just weren't no good for a long time. So if you're in the Bay Area and you're an impressionable kid, you're probably going with the 49ers. Or if you're watching the team, like I'm going to go with the Niners. Like I know the Raiders are in Oakland too, but they ain't no good. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the lore of Raiders fan base nationwide is the same as when we grew up with it and what we think
of. So are you saying it's actually time to remove them from this list?
I don't think they're on this. I don't think they're on the same level as the Cowboys, Eagles, Niners, Steelers, Packers,
Celtics, Red Sox.
I'm not giving you Bears. I'll end it there. I'm not giving you the Bears.
Bears. I don't know. The two that I'm thinking about.
I don't know if
the Bears. The two that I'm thinking about are Bears and Broncos.
Nah, I can't give you either one of those.
Okay.
I'll give you the other ones. I'll concede the other ones. I can't give you those.
Okay.
Are the Dodgers above the Yankees? You got me thinking.
The Dodgers are what the Yankees used to be.
No, I'm talking about the brand. The brand. Are the Dodgers bigger than the Yankees?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the Dodgers till you said it. Then I thought, oh, man. Worldwide, though, that's not the case no more.
As much as it makes me sick, there's still something to be a Yankee, I think. Like, I don't know if you look at this, like, look at the being a Dodger.
You see more NY hats or LA hats?
I think they're even. That's why I'm thinking about it. When you ask, I'm thinking about it because the LA hat is that's a staple.
Something.
Yeah. It's the same staple that we grew up with the NY hat being.
Mm-hmm. The Dodgers thing feels more regional too.
They everywhere though. They took over the Bronx.
All over the state, all over the country?
Yeah, they took over the Bronx. They took over Chicago. That's what they've been doing the last like 5 to 7
Maybe
years.
I haven't caught up to
that. They've been everywhere.
They're not, as we talk through this live, because that's what we do, they're not the Yankees yet. But yeah, they're up there. They're obviously second in Major League Baseball. I don't know where they would fall on this list once you factor in all of the football teams. And
top 10. Because I only named five football teams that we agreed on.
And the Lakers are the only team that for sure is up there in basketball.
Celtics.
Jesse? Yeah, Celtics. Yeah.
I would
Celtics.
Take those
two. They said it, not me.
We're at 7.
Nah, that's right.
Yankees, Dodgers. So I think Dodgers are top 10.
Okay.
You didn't say the Bears, though. I think Bears might be top 10.
Just throw in a documentary about the 85 Bears and we'll get on with it.
It's literally the only year we're talking about.
Wow, Mike Singletary, Mike Ditka, Jim McMahon, Walter Payton. Man.
Refrigerator Perry had that touchdown.
Wow, 85. They only lost to the Dolphins. Wow, 85 Bears. Let's go.
Talk about it again. It's almost like the 2008. Oh, you know what? Never mind. Never mind. That's my bad. That's E-Me. That's E-Me.
All right, dude. I see you.
We'll come back. We'll come back. It's D-Lo with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader. Matt George joins us next here on ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I go get some water, come back. Casey's screaming at people in the chat.
No, I'm not screaming. I'm just, he was just like, 49er, ain't nowhere near Raiders on
now,
the road.
Now, to be clear, like, you can't hear his message. You added your own inflection.
Right, that's true.
That. Like, you can't hear him.
That's a good point. Sorry, Con Esso. I can't remember his name for sure. Sorry, brother.
That's funny.
Remember that that time? This was a regular season game, but remember that time they Niners played the Bengals and the Niners scored a touchdown in overtime and they needed to wait for the review. And they were like, after further review, it's a touchdown. And the place went crazy.
Yeah.
It was
Yeah.
And I think you were like, that was in Cincinnati, right?
Right. Yeah, right.
Where was this game being played?
I wasn't alive for this, so I'll trust y'all on. One thing that they repeated a couple of times in that first episode was, yeah, Dallas, after we killed JFK, it was
they did say
that. And it was like, JFK died, and the vibes were kind of down in Dallas after that.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it went
But
down.
The Cowboys saved them. It was like, okay, I don't know if that's true or not, but that is an incredible story.
Yeah, we were all so sad after JFK died, and the Dallas Cowboys went 10-6 that year, and we were just back.
It really sucked. We murdered the president, but thank God for Tom Landry. What is happening? And they said it twice. That was the killer. They doubled down on this.
Poor Jackie Kennedy. But did you see Drew Pearson's touchdown?
Bro, they were out here saying the country was looking at Dallas different because the president got killed there.
Said it was the city of hate.
That's tough.
I learned I have a terrible prejudice. When they was doing them interviews, them like man on the street interviews with Tom Landry, and you hear them accents and you see it like in that like standard definition 1980 looking, I immediately think you've called someone the N-word. You were next to Jerry at that school, weren't you?
Oh, I was just curious to see what was going on. I'm glad that you're back, D-Lo.
No, Jerry, not back. Just a little bit more understanding of how you conducted business earlier in your life.
Oh, man. I'm still on the first episode, though, man. It looks great.
I was hoping.
The playmaker looks fantastic.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear from him. Oh, so great. I was hoping to make my way through a handful of, I was hoping to make my way through like four or five episodes, but I was kind of moving around for the first one. When I sat down, it was kind of curtains. I was like, I'm not going to make it through a bunch of episodes, but
I think the Niners will be like the main villain for teams too for the Cowboys in that documentary.
Yes, they should.
Yeah, they spent like 3 minutes on the Eagles.
Well, they talked about They talked about in the past. Like I've seen different things. Like that was the measuring stick for trying to be a championship team at that point. You had to beat the 49ers, and I'm just assuming Jerry, Jimmy, all that. Like if we wanted to make that upper echelon step, we had to go through the Niners.
Yeah. Pretty much. It was like a game in 92 they focus on, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, Matt George will be with us. He's just running a few minutes late because he has a job. So he'll be with us shortly.
And then that flipped. That flipped in 2 years. Like, then the Niners are like, hey, if we're going to do anything, we got to go through the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And that's how it was in the 90s.
Was it Cowboy Dion, 49er Dion, or was it the other way around?
The other way around. 49er Dion and Cowboy Dion.
So I think that's still the coldest jersey, I think, in football history.
Oh, the throwback Niner joint?
The 21.
Yeah. That one hurt me too.
I went to the Cowboys. Contemplated buying a jersey.
Okay.
Because
recently or like just before?
Like right now.
Oh wow.
All right, what you looking at?
Well, okay. The only thing that I've looked at is the black Colin Kaepernick jersey. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying that. It's $375 on StockX. I can't find it anywhere. I'm not buying it. But
it's never gonna go out of style.
True.
It's like your shirts. Like those are way more than $375. And it's good.
Chat's never Googled my shirts.
I don't know why.
Cost of what I wear. They Googled the cost of what you wear. But your boy, Miller, is really big on this NFL kickoff thing. Mm. And he was like, everybody wear your jersey. And like, I know you guys got a whole bunch of them. And I'm like, I don't have one. Like, I literally do not have a single jersey, much less a football jersey. I thought, if I would get one, what would it be? It's like, well, there's the cap jersey. I'm not getting a current player, that's for sure. And then I remembered Prime. I thought, well, got that white Atlanta jersey. That could be kind of nasty. And then I remembered the 49ers jersey.
You don't got like an old crisp white number 9 in the back of the closet you want to break out?
The way you make fun of my appreciation for Tony Romo is whack.
What do you mean? I just asked if you had a Tony Romo jersey in your closet you wanted to break out.
Where's your boy?
I have owned 3 football jerseys ever. They were all Cowboy jerseys. It was all the same player. Do you want to guess who it was?
Okay, I'm going to guess.
No, jackass. It's not Tony Romo.
Are you a big Jason Witten guy, I guess?
No, name another white player on the Cowboys. Go ahead, I dare you.
I was going to go with Troy.
Darryl Johnston. You're a jackass, too.
Well, some say Troy. You never know. Some say.
Well, Brother Troy.
Some say if you go through the lineage, you might find something.
Brother Troy. Brother Troy. So we've got Witten. This is hilarious. Romo, Witten, and Troy Aikman.
Well, if not Troy, I was going to say the playmaker.
It's not, but you're close.
Alvin Harper?
It's Terrell Owens.
Oh, T.O.
I had three T.O. jerseys.
T.O.
I think I got
three Cowboys T.O. jerseys?
I did. I had the
white joint.
Yep, the Thanksgiving joint. Yeah. And the blue one. Mm. The blue one, I think, is the one that we have signed, and it's tucked away somewhere. But
damn,
the other ones I just got rid of.
Be home people getting them Cowboys jerseys. Damn.
I was a Cowboy fan. I was a huge Terrell Owens. My two favorite players played for the, my two favorite Cowboys played for the 49ers. Prime and T.O. Well, I mean, Michael Irvin, he near the top of that list. But T.O. was my favorite football player for a long time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Dan was still a Cowboys fan like today?
Oh, God.
What would, like,
this show would be kind of wild.
How would you feel about the Cowboys right now?
Terrible. Feel terrible. Yeah. I remember the feeling. It was terrible.
I think we did we do this when D'Lo was gone? We were talking about the Cowboys. We don't think they're going to get to 10 wins this year.
Oh, yeah. We got them at single digits right now, I think.
Yeah. But not crazy. I say like 9-8, 8-9.
I said 7-9 wins is about to be it.
Yeah.
7 seems low for as talented as they are, but maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it would be. The football season would be a different experience if I was still a Cowboys fan, for sure.
Can you imagine Damian Barling? How about them Cowboys?
Oh, man. I want to check out the rest. Well, more of the doc.
You know what helped, too, is I was so Jason Witten was the coach. Jason Garrett was the coach at the time. I was so done with, like, that team that the Jerry nonsense just made it like, yeah, this is this is actually really easy to walk away from.
Yeah. If like, they were good, maybe make you think a little bit.
Honestly, no. I think I was done with Jason. You know what I saw? Was it Prime? Who had the end season? It's the football show. It's it not
was.
Hard Knocks.
I think it was
Amazon Prime.
But it doesn't come out till after. Is it? I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come out till after the season is over. Mm-hmm. When they showed Jason at that, and I was done with them by this point. But when they showed Jason at like a coach's meeting talking about, well, kneeling is a thing. Well, we don't do that here, so we're not going to kneel. We're going to make it clear to our players that that's not what we do. Mm. And then it just moved on. It was like, yeah, that was a good call by me.
It's called All or Nothing.
All or Nothing. Yeah, there you go. That was actually a good show. All or Nothing was a good show.
The thing about it, not to stall these guys out, but, I mean, that's you probably get about 90% of the league who say something like that. Coaches.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Probably more than 90%. Yeah, it's probably a lot more than 90%. Didn't Mike Tomlin catch hell? Didn't Mike Tomlin stay in the locker room once? Is that right?
Yeah, they all stayed in the locker room.
Oh, the Steelers stayed in the locker room.
Stayed in the locker room besides one player, I think.
Yeah.
And then they were catching heat. Mm.
So funny. I don't even know how you're going to... That will be a fascinating point in history to watch unfold in the next 20 or so years. It will be interesting to hear how that story is told, because we know stories are whitewashed all to hell.
The NFL, look what we did with Colin Kaepernick in the end zones.
Yeah, we then
look back at what we did
in racism.
In racism, yes,
that's how it'll get told.
On my in season or in studio TV right here, I have the
it's an iPad.
Well, this one's on the MacBook. But I have the highlights of the 2021 Cowboys 49ers playoff game because I was before we
was
came
that
back,
the bump box?
That was Dak sliding the clock.
Oh, God. Oh.
Was this the first game or the second time?
The first
game. Oh, yeah. That's when Mike McCarthy was scared for his life.
That's when Micah Parsons said, I'm from wherever in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Bullies get bullied, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But
and then they got punched in the face.
We just got to the point of the highlights where, and they're not related, but it reminds me of everything. It all comes together. When the Cowboys were driving down, but they were... The receivers were facing the sun, and it was like a big third down, and the guy couldn't see the pass and dropped it. And that reminds me of like a year ago when it came up to Jerry. What you want me to do? Just build a damn new stadium? Is that what you want me to do?
Jerry Jones is so much louder than Kenny Caraway. Well, you're a board ops nightmare.
I'm not always that way. Sometimes I speak a little lower. Sorry, I've been inundating with phone calls after this documentary that's on Netflix right now that has brought my man D'Lo back to the Cowboys. And it's almost like the prodigal son coming back. And what did Guru say the other day? There's a slaughter and there's a pig. And when there's bacon, that means the pig didn't come back.
Shout out Guru, by the way. Oh, does Damien see your impression of Guru?
I saw a clip of it on social media and just thought, wow.
Steiny!
He laughs because he sees it.
Shout out to my boy Goo, man. That's my dog.
I hate that I have to say this out loud. Your impression was better than Guru's.
Oh, Guru. Well, that was the surprise factor. I was like, oh, Guru got a Jerry Jones.
Guru sounds like Guru impersonating Jerry Jones. That's what he said. Oh, that's Guru right there. He's just doing like a Jerry Jones. Guru sounds like Guru impersonating Kenny impersonating Jerry Jones. That's what it is.
He said, Stoney, I talked to KC. I'm going to the Sac State football games.
How crazy is it how much the NFL has changed? Like, you go back and you look at you look at the clip of Irvin Magic Johnson being drafted or Michael Jordan from North Carolina. Like, the draft looks so low budget and nothing. Room. Yeah, it's like there's a big Marriott sign on the microphone podium.
Ballroom.
And now there's 200,000 people,
man.
You know, across from the Bellagio water fountain, draft picks coming across in boats. Right. It's crazy. Like, man, what a production. What incredible growth that these sports leagues have experienced over the last 30, 40 years.
On that podcast, the Bill Simmons podcast with Sal and everything, they brought up the fact that things in that 90s time they felt bigger and better because it was like, yo, this Cowboys-Niners game is everything.
Yeah.
And one of the things they talked about is like, we would see the Cowboys and the 49ers on Sunday or Monday, and then we really wouldn't see them again. We really, like, there was sports talk, but it wasn't NFL Live and all day, every day, all week. So the next time we saw them, we've been waiting on, this is the biggest thing that we have. And then they talked about Summerall and Madden and how their voices and their the way they laid out a game and introduced it was, it just laid the groundwork for, it just felt like I think they said like a like two Titans. Like, this is the biggest thing in our lives right now, in our sports lives right now. And with so much sports and so much going on, do you think we've lost that a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just I think you said it the second time. First of all, the 49ers-Cowboys rivalry is what made me love the Cowboys. I think I've told that story before. It was just my grandfather.
Niners
just to get on his nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely just to get on his nerves. And he hated it, but he loved it. Yeah. And well, he loved it until the Cowboys won, then he hated it. But I just don't. It's not just that there's so much sports going on. There's just so much life going on. There's so many things going on.
Brother, gas is $6 right now.
Yeah, it absolutely. You know, there's 4 billion channels, 10 million streaming services. It does. It takes away from it a little bit. One thing that I like one thing that I really, really like that the documentary is doing is we welcome in our buddy Matt George, who's at ABC 10 right now, is they're following the, what was the Last Dance, where the music that they're playing matches the time period that they're talking about. And I didn't pick up on that until I got to the Emmitt Smith draft scene and Rex and Effect was playing. And I thought, that's a weird selection. And then it dawned on me, oh, the year.
Yeah.
And it matches, and I thought The Last Dance was brilliant with how they matched the soundtrack with the time frame that they were talking about. As we welcome in Matt George from the Locked On Kings podcast. He's live at ABC 10. I've gotten a heads up on this. Matt, go ahead. Spend the next 20 minutes pissing me off.
Huh?
Your podcast.
Pissing you off.
Your podcast.
Oh, yes. That yes,
is
yes.
out or is about to drop?
No, the podcast is out. So I did about a couple weeks ago.
So let me set the scene real quick for people tuning in. For those who weren't here, we opened the show talking about Russell Westbrook and the Kings and some things Jake Fisher said. Mm-hmm. Matt immediately texts me, "You're going to love this. I just did a podcast on Russell Westbrook," and then immediately follows up, "You're not going to like what I had to say."
Oh, no.
Well, it's not so much me, and Russell Westbrook was only a part of the podcast, but I mean, I always live to piss off Damian Barling. It's like a goal of mine.
Great at it.
But I I put together a couple weeks ago a fan survey, a Kings fan survey, where there's a list of questions for them to answer just about their optimism levels towards the Kings season, the moves that they've made. And one of the questions on there was simple yes or no question. Do you want the Sacramento Kings to sign Russell Westbrook? And nearly 400 fans weighed in. And Damon, you'll be happy to know that initially it was overwhelmingly no, and then it only became slightly overwhelmingly no. But still, the majority of Sacramento Kings fans of the 400, a very small portion of Kings fandom that weighed in on this, is actively against the idea of your boy suiting up and playing for the Sacramento Kings. So.
Can I tell you what matters more than that to me, Matt? Me. And my happiness. That's what matters more to me. Matt, I get it. I understand.
When I was breaking it down on the podcast, though, it's funny. It's not the exact same thing, but like I equate it in similar ways to when Vince Carter was here. Like it was fun. And I would, there would be part of me that would be very intrigued about Russell Westbrook. One, what does he look like in a Kings jersey, and how fast does that sell at the Kings team store? Mm-hmm. I do believe that Scott Perry and the Kings would look at Russ as a little more impactful for the team than Vince Carter was at a time where the Sacramento Kings weren't any good anyway. And Vince was just kind of on his retirement tour and gave us some fun moments. But I was a little surprised by how overwhelmingly against Russell Westbrook the fans who weighed in were. But I do believe that they are looking at that move, or a Russell Westbrook move, through the lens of everything else involved. And I think no matter what the Kings did, Russell Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder, whoever, there was always going to be kind of a negative feeling about it as a result of the Kings not extending Keon Ellis. So no matter what, because they essentially did what they did with Keon to free up the money to be able to make these other moves. So all those other moves are going to be judged through that lens. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much that weighs into the Russell Westbrook thing, but I think a lot of people here in Sacramento are not too keen on the idea of Russ in a Kings jersey, and Scott Perry might not care.
What do you think about Russ potentially in a Kings jersey?
I would look at it the same way I look at this roster. I'm intrigued. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I'm interested. I'm going to be entertained, selfishly, from a media standpoint. I know I'm going to get sound bites, and I know I'm going to get moments. I might get even cussed at or stared at one point or two during
a press conference. That happens a lot to you.
Well, I mean, just add Russ to the list.
Do you know how hard you have to work to piss off Doug Christie? I think you did it like 3 times at the end of the year last year.
To be fair, Doug Christie was mad, I think, at everybody and everything.
I think you're right.
Circumstances that he was going through, and I don't necessarily blame him. But yeah, I would be very intrigued by Russell here in Sacramento. I think the leadership and the fire is something that this organization has solely missed. But if Mike Brown's voice got old. And I mean, there's a video that came out of Doug Christie saying the Kings Twitter caught a hold of Doug saying, like, you better be used to playing physical. And if not, then you're going to come out of the game. And we love hearing those words from Doug. But do those words get old quickly for this roster that's not known for the defensive end? So I just want to see vocal, noticeable leadership that sticks and that's respected long term and isn't poo-pooed or turned on after a couple weeks of losing or half of a bad season or the turmoil that I believe this organization is going to go through over the next 9 months.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're going to go through turmoil?
Because I just don't think this team is well-built and cohesive. I think they're entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think there are going to be I said this on the podcast today. I think there are going to be a number of moments where the Golden One Center is rocking. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think back to Zach LaVine going crazy in the fourth quarter. DeMar DeRozan hitting some game winners. Hopefully Keegan Murray having another takeover three-point game or two. Keon Ellis playing some great defense. Like, I think the Kings will have some moments. Like, I posted a video that I know, Casey, you saw of just kind of a hype edit compilation of who Dennis Schroeder is kind of as a personality. And I think a lot of Kings fans are going to respond well to that. But as a whole, like, I think as many fun moments as we hopefully have, there are going to be moments where we're groaning and watching our TVs, and some people will be able to turn it off, and I unfortunately will not be able to, and there's just going to be those nights where, man, this really stinks. And if you're listening to the radio, you're going to hear sad or disappointed Gary Gerald, which is the worst thing you could possibly hear, how disappointed Gary gets when the Kings just make these mistakes. So to me, I'm not sold on the Kings being a good basketball team, but I am sold on them being entertaining.
G-Man's seen a lot of mistakes in his.
Yeah, poor G-Man. Hang in there, big dog.
I don't know that anyone has seen more bad basketball than Gary Gerald.
Hang in there, big dog. Hang in there. We've talked about this a number of different times during the offseason with you, Matt, but is there anything with this group here that might make you look at them a little different? Like, if you go to training camp and maybe some people are saying things that you weren't expecting, like in a positive way, like, hey, I'm here for the team. Do you think those type of things might change your expectations of the team, or it's just literally I have to see it happen to feel any different about this team?
Yeah, it comes down to the basketball for me, because all of the off-court connotations to a lot of these things are what makes it a negative. A perfect example of this is Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's numbers and offense is phenomenal. Like, the season that he had last year is excellent. But everything you look at when you're talking about Zach LaVine is through the lens of he's making almost $50 million per year. And that's hard to look past. Especially, and there's also the caveat of this is who you traded De'Aaron Fox for. None of which is Zach LaVine's fault. If anything, good on Zach. You got the bag. And you got to California where you've been trying to get to. But on the basketball court specifically, I'm excited about when Zach LaVine has his offensive moments, and hopefully it's consistent. I am still excited about DeMar DeRozan, and I'm not just excited, I'm desperate to the point of I'm going to be frustrated if I don't see on opening night a two-man game between DeMar and Sabonis and a two-man game between LaVine and Sabonis. For God's sakes, play together. Have your best players play together, because we just didn't see that enough this last season. And then, like, Neek Clifford, Maxime Reyneau, I want to see what those guys look like. I think Neek Clifford is going to be a guy that's in the rotation opening night. I know there are people in that organization that feel he's ready for that. Maxime, a little bit more of a question mark. And then, of course, Keon and Keegan, what the next steps look like for him. I hope we get opportunities where Keegan is more featured on offense. So, Kenny, the basketball, when I walk into the Golden One Center on opening night or game three against the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm going to be excited for the basketball. But the storylines around the organization, the context of everything, and the direction of this organization is ultimately what has me going, yeah, I'm not a firm believer of the long-term or even short-term success of this group.
Do you think there's a move before camp starts?
I think the Kings would love to make multiple. I mean, from the newest reports that have come out today of the Malik Monk situation and trying to free up the money for Russell, like, none of this is new. This is stuff that right. We've been talking about for months. It's all just a waiting game. It's the same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. These are all dominoes that are grouped together that will create a domino effect, not just for the Sacramento Kings, but the Golden State Warriors. Al Horford sitting in the waiting room of the Golden or of the Chase Center, while Russell Westbrook is sitting in the waiting room of the Golden One Center, just waiting for this Jonathan Kuminga deal to go down, which would move Malik Monk, which would open up the money in the cap space to bring in Russell. What, like, it's just all a waiting game. I think the Sacramento Kings are eagerly trying to find something else to do. And as we get closer to September and then closer even to October and the deadlines for restricted free agents, and it becomes really critical crunch time for the Kuminga Warriors situation, I think we'll see things heat back up again. But in the meantime, it's just a waiting game right now. But I think the Kings absolutely would like to. I don't think if Scott Perry has his way, this roster is not done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAFGiving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When it comes to Russell Westbrook specifically, what do you think holds more weight with being able to get a Westbrook deal done? Finalizing something with Kuminga or moving on from Malik Monk?
I heard you ask Damian this question earlier, and Damian had the right answer, yes. But I think it's Kuminga, because Kuminga is the only legitimate trade conversation that's been out there that's involved Malik Monk that hasn't just been talk. Like, the Kings have involved Malik Monk in numerous conversations over the course of this summer, and it's all kind of gone the same way. Well, Malik doesn't really have a market. And at first, I think that set off alarm bells for us, which is like, what's wrong with Malik? Is his contract really that bad? No, it just turns out the entire league is scared money right now. Like, this has just been that kind of offseason. So I don't think it reflects negatively on Malik. I think what reflects most negatively on Malik could also reflect negatively on the Kings. I think it's pretty clear that the Kings don't feel like Malik is part of the long-term plan. But I also think we have to take into account their financial situation, because there are three contracts in terms of annual salary that are bigger than Malik Monk's. Two of them are not movable in Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine. The other one is DeMar DeRozan, which is still tough to move at $24 million per year. And I've had every indication that the Sacramento Kings are not interested in moving DeMar DeRozan, that Scott Perry wants DeRozan here. So that makes Malik next in line, right, of the most likely contract to be moved. So it makes sense that the Kings are trying to move that $18 million to free up the space that they want to or that they need to make some of these other moves. But like I said, the league is scared money right now, and it's not just Malik's $18 million this year. It's the $20 million next year, and then the $21 or $22 million player option at the end of it that I think we all know Malik should take, because I don't think he's ever going to get that money again.
Who do you think blinks first in the, because the Kings are so tied to this, who do you think blinks first in the Kuminga Warrior situation?
Between the Kings and the Warriors?
I'm sorry, in the Kuminga Warrior situation.
Oof. I believe Kuminga, and maybe this is wishful thinking, like, I believe Kuminga, when he says, like, I'm going to go qualifying offer then.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I believe him.
Yeah.
Normally I'd be like, okay, it's talk. And then we're going to get to, look, I just think the Warriors have way more to lose than Kuminga does. And certainly both of them have way more to lose than the Kings do. So again, I think the Kings are a lawn chair, bag of popcorn, and just sitting here waiting for something to give between this tug of war between both sides. But sure, Kuminga optically maybe doesn't look the best if he takes the qualifying offer and then essentially doesn't play for the Warriors next year, and he is going to get criticism for that. But he's getting criticism for breathing at that point with everything that he does in the Bay and how he's been covered and talked about over the last year, if not more. So to me, again, the Golden State Warriors, who have a situation that they created, a title window that they need to try and maximize right now with an aging Steph Curry and an aging core, the reputation of completely blowing the two timeline thing. Like, I just think the Warriors, whether it's financially, wins and losses wise, and then of course the court of public opinion, they just have a lot more to lose. Mm-hmm. So they hold all the cards, sure, but the one card they don't hold is the card I think Kuminga is willing to play, and the pressure is on the Warriors to win here. So we'll see. But I believe Jonathan Kuminga I think he'll carry his threat out, and the Kings, I think, should be very excited about that.
I agree with you, Matt. I believe Kuminga when he says essentially my, you know, not being under the thumb of the Golden State Warriors is priority number one right now. And if I sign a different contract, or if I, you know, do something differently during these negotiations that lands me in the same predicament where they're in control of my future, I don't want any parts of it. Mm-hmm. The one where they're not necessarily in control of my future is if I sign that qualifying offer, and if that's what I have to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm with you, Matt. I believe him when he says that. I think that is a big source of his frustration, how the Warriors have handled him during his career, and the fact that he can't move the way he wants to because they still have control over where he goes. I think he wants to be done with that, and that's priority number one for him.
And honestly, guys, I believe the Sacramento Kings are proceeding as if Jonathan Kuminga is not going to be a King. I think mm-hmm. they're proceeding as if that's the situation. It'll play out the way it plays out. They've put themselves in an excellent position to be a strong suitor for Kuminga to revisit these conversations. They already have a dollar figure in mind. Now, that could change depending upon circumstances, but there's already an established relationship between the Kings and Jonathan Kuminga that can be revisited any time. I'm not saying that's the strongest negotiation position if you're desperate or super eager to add Kuminga to your roster, but again, I don't think the Kings are either of those things. They view Kuminga as an opportunity. This has been the same way the entire time, no matter what Warriors fans try and say. The Kings are interested in Kuminga and the opportunity of acquiring Kuminga. The Kings are not a Kuminga away from getting where they want to go. They know it, so they're willing to kind of play this patient game. And there's no reason to believe Kuminga will be a King by the start of training camp. There's every reason to believe Malik Monk still will be. And the one thing that I think the Kings, and I think Kings fans, should hang their hats on a little bit when it comes to the Monk situation is we know how vocal Malik is. We know Malik's personality. We know he'll say what comes to mind. And I'm sure he feels a certain type of way about all this, and it's going to put a chip on his shoulder. So be it. But I do know for a fact that Malik Monk and Doug Christie have a very solid relationship. And I've been told firsthand that Malik has essentially told Doug, I will do what you need from me. So I'm not worried that this situation has caused any kind of significant fracture for the Kings, or that it'll be a distraction during training camp. If Kuminga is a King or Russell Westbrook is a King, great. And again, I think the Kings would like to try and do something like that. But as of right now, I think, like I said over a month ago, Sacramento's content with where they're at going into the season. It's not what they want, but they're okay with it. It's not a disaster.
What player do you think is going to surprise you the most this upcoming training camp, maybe even this upcoming season?
Great question.
Thank you. I'm a broadcast journalist.
You are, and you're phenomenal at your job. Thanks for inviting me to your birthday party. I don't, this isn't my number one answer, but it's one of the first things that came to mind. I just wonder if Devin Carter gets another run as a point guard. And if we see it with the main roster, and if we see it with the main group as like a one last chance type thing, and hey, how have you grown and developed between summer league and now? I think we get a glimpse of that. I also think we get a glimpse of Neek Clifford as a point guard as well, hopefully during training camp and during preseason. I want to, hopefully the Kings will let the media in during some of their scrimmages when they're doing 5-on-5s, because I want to see if Maxime Reynaud is doing what I want him to do, which is guarding DeMontis Sabonis and probably getting beat up a little bit by DeMontis Sabonis. But I think that's what he needs to learn and grow in that the center position with the physicality of the NBA. And then, like, I don't expect big changes with this or noticeable changes with this, but I've heard things out of the Kings front office. We've been talking about it ad nauseum on this show, on Locked On Kings. The fan base has been talking about it. Keegan developing a voice. Keegan developing that attitude of, I'm a veteran now. I'm in year 4. Get me the basketball. Feature me more. Get me more involved. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what does Keegan Murray look more like? Does he look more like a featured part of the offense, or does he look more like DeMar DeRozan, or excuse me, Harrison Barnes, where he's there and he's available and he might have good moments here or there, but we know more often than not he's a placeholder on offense rather than a feature.
That's interesting. I got my eye on Max, man.
Yeah.
I got my eye on Max.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. He's a bit of he's probably the biggest unknown. Whereas, I mean, obviously, Neek is too. I mean, well, this whole damn situation is unknown. But Max is like, maybe unknown isn't the right word. Maybe intriguing is a better word.
Yeah. I feel like Max, some of the things that he does really well on the offensive end, he can slide right into the NBA and be productive. His ability to shoot, finish around the rim with both hands. I think, and you're playing with better players around you, playing with NBA guys around you as opposed to summer league guys, I think he can make some noise early. So I got my eye on him. Got my eye on Max.
And I mean, this is kind of a cop out too, because it's not one guy. But how deep is Doug Christie's rotation, and how clear does it become? One, the guys that he's confident in right away. Like again, I would expect Neek Clifford to have a really, really good shot at being one of those 8 or 9 guys that's playing consistently to start the season. And then what are the lineups and what are the balances? Like, what always stood out to me with Mike Brown was when he subbed different guys in and out. He was very consistent with De'Aaron Fox was the first guy subbed out of the game every single night. So he could get Malik Monk in with the starters and then bring Fox back in later in the first quarter to have Monk and Fox run together. Okay, so who is Neek running with? Are you staggering LaVine and DeRozan, or are you featuring them on the floor together? What are Dennis Schroeder's minutes, and what are the minutes like when Dennis Schroeder comes out of the game at the point guard position? Like, I think Doug is going to do a lot of experimenting during preseason. I think it's going to be a fun experiment to watch and see. We're going to see pretty quickly, ooh, they don't work together, and oh, wow, there's something there.
Yeah. Give me that Max Domas lineup just a couple times during preseason.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me see what that looks like. See what it's looking like.
Let me see what that looks like. Matt George, great stuff as always. Make sure you go listen to his Russell Westbrook hate-filled podcast.
Hold on. No.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
My mistake. Oh, don't do sorry. That. Go listen to the Locked On King podcast that features Russell Westbrook hate. Is that better?
No. It's a survey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A fan base.
Go to the Locked On Kings podcast. Check out the results of Matt's stupid survey regarding Russell Westbrook and a variety of other topics. Of course, Locked On Kings should be a part of your regular Kings consumption. as should Matt's work over at ABC10. Matt, we appreciate you. As always, we appreciate you for being with us. We'll be back to close out the week strong, as we always do, tomorrow morning, beginning at 10 a.m. right here on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Kuminga Watch.
Hey. ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Prize Picks!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.